Streaming in this realm and beyond, you are listening to Paranormal Investigator Radio with your hosts, Peter Leonard, Rich Nightingale, and Dr. David DeProspero.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of Paranormal Investigator Radio. We're here with your hosts,
Peter Leonard,
Rich Nickedem,
and I'm Dr. Dave DeProspero. And tonight we have a special guest,
Mike Perillo.
We'd like to welcome Mike, one of our investigators. We are
good to be here.
Coming to you live from a wireless modem tonight. So you're going to have to excuse any distortion that may pop in here.
So we're inside the Matrix, Dave?
We are inside the Matrix, and we also have our team members Diane and Patrick here with us. Hi, guys. You can yell hi.
Hi.
There we go. Okay. All right, guys. So we have an interesting show tonight. We have the latest in paranormal news, paranormal happenings, some special events to tell you about, some technology and techniques. And on that note, we will be right back.
Phone lines are now open.
Sorry about tech difficulties. We're back online now.
Darn cellular modems.
That's what happens when you're in the field, in the Matrix.
Deep in the field.
Jello or whatever it is that... how about all those UFOs people have been sighting lately? Huh? UFOs?
Oh, I've seen some pictures on Facebook of people posting photos from the local area. Why don't you tell us what some of those UFO photos are, Pete?
You know, I got to weigh in on this. Mike might actually have a little input on it. Why is it only people who aren't paranormal investigators the only ones who ever see UFOs? We have all this equipment and we can never get a picture of one.
It seems that way with everything we do. People see ghosts in one spot for 100 years. We're there one night.
I actually have a unique piece of news just about that fact right there, but continue on with your UFO stuff.
Well, someone posted on our Facebook page at Rome Rip a picture of one of the triangular-shaped UFOs that had been sighted over the area. All the more proof that it's the TR-3B, which does not exist.
That is a government aircraft, correct?
There were figures. I don't know. That's the first thing they teach you.
Okay, yeah, we don't know if that is or is not a good aircraft, but it is triangular-shaped.
According to our resident ufologist and conspiracy theorist, Vince Perillo, he's telling me that the real UFOs are here watching us, so we had to put our aircraft up there to watch them, and now there's more UFOs watching our UFOs.
It's a whole lot of UFOs.
Big Brother really does watch everything.
It's just a theory.
Do they wear black suits, men in black?
I pray I never have to find that out.
Is there any probing going on?
I could use a good probing, but again, it's something I really don't want to find out.
So, just for all those people out there who are listening, we're talking about the UFO sightings over the central New York area. We have a local Air Force base in our city, and there's been an increase in sightings of triangular-shaped aircraft that hover in the air. And it's of a form that's unfamiliar to us, called the TR-3B. So feel free to Google that. It's supposedly a nuclear-powered airplane, the shape of a delta wing or a triangle, and it's supposed to be a two-man crew sealed inside this nuclear reactor. Anybody want to volunteer for that job?
Very brave pilots.
Are you kidding me with the cancer rate that we have in this area as it is?
Don't forget the cobalt magnets. Oh, those don't exist.
No, those don't exist either.
But it is interesting. I mean, the photo, which I'm trying to bring up for you, it actually shows the two red lights and one green light underneath, which is characteristic of a lot of sightings around the world. So we're getting some good airtime, I guess.
Okay, see if you could pull up that picture, because I have not seen that one. But while Pete's looking at that one, I'm going to tell you guys about a story that was in the Huffington Post. And as we all know, if it's in the Huffington Post, it's got to be real. Ghostly figure found on real estate listing photo. If anybody wants to Google this, Apparently a Florida man was browsing real estate listings this week when he noticed something strange in one of the listing photos. He posted the odd image on Reddit yesterday. And as I'm looking at the picture, this is a foreclosed home. It's a brick structured home. And it appears that there's a door open, and in the doorway, if you zoom in on it, there appears to be the figure of either a girl or a woman with long flowing black hair in a white dress. And I'm going to turn this around and show everybody here in the studio.
Looks like my prom date.
Everybody see that? Okay, so this was a guy that was driving by, and he happened to see this. He was checking out, you know, whether it would be worthwhile to invest in this foreclosed home. And he took a picture, and he didn't realize that there was anything out of place until he got home and put it on his computer. So as the story goes, after some research, they found out that an 81-year-old lady bought the home years ago, and she died inside. She had no close family, which is why it went into foreclosure. Aside from that, though, there's really no explanation of this photo. Some people believe that it's a prank, but the poster argues that he did not do anything to the photo, there was no retouching, and it's just one of those photos that remain unexplained. So once again, if anybody wants to check out the picture, you could Google ghostly figure found on real estate listing photo.
Does that raise the value of the house?
You know, I don't know. I think if anything, that might bring it down a little bit. In New York State, we have the stigmatized property law. Okay, so here I am looking at this photo of this triangular shaped
airplane. It's like triangular shaped.
Okay, what we failed to mention on the air is this is a nighttime shot, so it's completely black with the exception of three tiny dots. Two appear somewhat red, and one appears somewhat green, and it is a skewed triangular shape.
But David, we do it in the dark.
We do, absolutely. That's our slogan here at the Rome Investigators of Paranormal. We do it in the dark.
All night long.
So the lady posts that this has been outside my house for the third time this week. And she finally got a picture.
And then the men in black visited. We don't have a website to her.
Nobody has ever heard from the lady again.
You know, it goes to say that not all of these people are crazy or weird or have some kind of medical issue, that there are really some credible people taking photos and seeing things, and that, you know, every time we look at something online, the first thing they talk about is that it's a hoax or someone's doing something, but there's a lot of just hardworking, honest people that are credible that come across these things, see the stuff in the sky at night, take these photos of the house. So not everyone can be crazy that sees all this, just like, you know, Bigfoot. I mean, obviously, with Bigfoot, there's thousands of sightings now, and obviously, I'm sure there's many of them are crackpots, as with ghosts and with UFOs, but outside of that, some are pretty credible. Airline pilots, conservation officers, police. I mean, these people are credible. So, you know, when I saw that picture that Dave showed me with the ghost in the house, I mean, obviously, being skeptic, you know, it could be, you know, a hoax, obviously. But it looks, I mean, it could also pass for something that's pretty real. Now, the UFO thing, I don't know. It's three lights. I don't know really where that was taken and how high above the house it was, but that's all I saw was three lights.
Right. It would be nice to get a daytime picture of one of these TR-3Bs.
Did you see the radio station photos?
I did not see a radio station photo, no.
Daytime?
Yeah. Do we have those pictures?
I will bring that up for you.
Okay.
What is the website, Pete?
I think it was 96.
Thanks for point 9 WUR.
Great.
Speaking of media, I was looking on the television, that weird box on Sunday morning, and I see Rich turning lights out on the Hulbert House third floor.
It's my part-time job. The booking agency business isn't so good these days, so man's got what to do, and he has to do to feed his family.
So I don't know if anybody out there has seen us on the WUTR's Hello Central New York episode.
I actually haven't even watched it yet.
You're in for a treat. I think it came out really well.
I think it was pretty good, too. It's also online at WUTRTV20.com.
Plus, we've linked them to.
Site. Hold on one second. Let's provide everybody with our website information.
This is my mind. You're an investigator with you.
Okay. And we're back. Pete's going to tell you a little bit more about our video that was done of us.
We had a video?
We did. WUR.
We went in there with Melissa Crowell, and we did an extensive investigation, again, of the Hulbert House, which is our at least 20th time there.
Mm-hmm.
And the old girl didn't let us down again. Every time we go in there, we get something out of her.
The old girl.
Evidence, that is, I should say. And when we went back to film the reveal of evidence, after you left, Dave, we went upstairs to do some uptake shots, miscellaneous shots, and Rich put the MF pump out again. I have to say, I really think there is merit to it. It felt like the room was about to explode with some type of activity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's almost like a little beacon. You know, if you can see it, envision it, you're in the dark, and all of a sudden you see this blip of light. So you go to it, and that's the only way I can explain it. And it's as if when we set it up that all of a sudden we start seeing more shadows. Pete says something actually started to pixelate. We haven't actually had that up at that floor yet, so it's the first time.
I mean, I know we're crazy, but when people don't do this, actually experience and see the same stuff, it kind of makes you feel good.
Now, Rich, 2 weeks ago on our show, you actually did a little overview of the EM pump that you purchased, and I believe this was your second time using it now?
Yeah.
And you had good results both times, right?
Yeah. Actually, I bought it with the concept of using it as a sacrificial battery.
Right.
I figured every time we go out, I either lose the power of my audio recorder or my flash or something weird. So as I was reading online about different things like ion generators, EM pumps, I found this one. It's DC operated, and it's, you know, I was quite surprised when I actually got it, to be honest with you. This big box came in the mail, and you open it. It was kind of like comical. You open one box and get to the next box and get to the next box. End result is you have this little thing about 4 inches by 2 inches, and that's your EM pump. So I guess I was a little, you know, skeptical that this thing was actually going to work being so small. But, I mean, its really main purpose is just to generate pulse frequencies from like 0.2 hertz up to 256 hertz. And you can actually put the K2 up to it, about just a few inches, and you can actually peg it right to red.
Cool.
So, yeah, I really think it's actually helping out a little bit. When we did the investigation with the WTR crew, we took it on every place we investigated, and we saw a lot of shadow movement. We got some really good EVPs, so there is some merit to this device.
Beautiful.
Speaking of strange devices, when I was in the bathroom Google searching paranormal equipment,
I came up
with a very interesting one here. Crystal quantum radios.
Crystal.
I'm handing David the website now to take a look at this one.
CQR.
Sounds like a form of crystal meth.
Crystal quantum radios.
I mean, I know Mike has asked for years to have a teleporter done. Maybe
what
on the radio.
What the heck is this?
It's got the word quantum in it. It's got
anything that has a word quantum or mechanics in it,
yeah,
it's got to be reliable.
Wait, let's let me read you. Let me read you this first paragraph, and then we will promptly move on to the next topic. Superbeacon automatically seeks, recovers, and harmonizes PUPs, or parallel universe personae, into the present homeworld universe, seeking the next nearest in order of luminosity or apparent magnitude. I could continue, but I'm not going to.
That doesn't sound legitimate.
No, no. It has the word, and crystal. It's got to be real. All right, so what this thing is it's two probes that you hold in one in each hand, and
one in each hand, one in your butt.
It's about Yeah, that's about all I can make of it.
You say alternate you as in you, or alternate you as in universe?
I'm absolutely...
Like an alternate you from an alternate you.
My God. I'm going to talk about the pig man here after the break, so... This can't get any weirder tonight.
Wait. So UFOs, those are the two most credible words I've read in this. Okay, yeah, we're going to...
It's like $6,000.
Yeah, we're gonna pass right up on that one. And
Pete, break out the Visa card. Let's get it.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you read anything with the words quantum or flux or teleportation or parallel universes, you could go right onto the next website.
It's $2,200.
Oh, good. Patrick, do you want to buy that for us? You sure?
Wait, they also sell beta-blocking spirit guides.
Oh, Diane.
Beta-blocking spirit guides? Is it like a pill you swallow?
I don't know.
Diane, you want to front us the money for that one?
Is that where the little spacecraft is in a pill and you swallow it and it goes to your digestive tract?
Yep.
Honey, it comes out the poop chute. Yeah.
Oh, that's true. Or your own worst enemy.
I don't even know if my microphone's working.
See, you should have read on what people are saying about the beacon.
Oh, please tell me.
The beacon is a treasure. Magic happens. Usually as coincidences and restored memories. But I still recall dreams now.
Oh. Yeah.
Found a pig man, I guess. Pig man.
Okay, so we're back, and this is what you've all been waiting for. This is the price of admission tonight. We're going to talk about the Pigman. Now, many of you who are friends of Seinfeld remember the episode where Kramer went to the hospital and saw the Pigman. Half man, half pig. I mean, if you guys follow Seinfeld.
I remember.
You guys do follow Seinfeld. It's like I'm talking to in our space here. We're just kind of looking in with the blind
stare. I remember
there.
The South Park episode where they talked about man, bear, pig. Is that similar?
Similar. Okay, so let's talk about the real Pigman, not Kramer's delusion, but the real Pigman.
Let's do that.
Well, I mean, this can't get any weirder between Sasquatches, UFOs, and ghosts. Pigman's right up there with them. So
give us the bacon.
So here's how the story goes. Deep in the woods of Cannock Chase, England, this is our brothers, Halifax Warburton. May know these people very well. Across the pond, where sunlight doesn't venture and animals don't frolic, there is one creature that roams, the Pigman. Okay? And a town also known for the frequent werewolf sightings. Okay? So not only do they have Pigman, they have werewolves. I mean, I wonder what real estate sells for in this place.
They pay you.
Yeah, I mean, talk about, you know, houses are stigmatized with ghosts, maybe stigmatized with werewolves and pigmen. So, Cannock Chase has a long history of eerie happenings, according to the BBC, which is, BBC is kind of a credible organization. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
As early as the 1940s, the pigman, a half-human, half-swine, and a full terror awe creature, has allegedly been seen by those brave, or perhaps dumb enough, to venture into the woods. Witnesses recall a human body in tattered clothes, a distorted face, an unmistakable snout, and the shrill squealing the pigman heard miles away. Or anybody who's gone camping with Pete. You see the same thing?
Pretty much, yeah.
And now, one man has reportedly solved the mystery of the nightmarish pigman. So this guy, by himself, single-handedly solved the mystery of the pigman. Okay? His name is Lee Brickley. He spent over a decade researching and hearing first-hand accounts of the pigman, according to the Birmingham Mail. His findings are now published in his new book on strange phenomena, UFOs, Werewolves, and the Pigman.
I knew it. Okay. UFOs.
In it, Brickley explains that the Pigman is less of a diabolical, disgusting humanoid and more of an urban myth. Oh, now he's dismissing it. The Mail reports that a recent email sent to Brickley from the grandson of a former soldier explaining the human ham hog was nothing more than a tale created by top military officials to keep the public out of the Cannock Chase woods, where there were sensitive wartime installations. So, we got more conspiracy theories going on here. Possibly in Area 51 over in Cannock Chase woods. The soldier's grandson, who wished to remain anonymous, said that his grandfather had been tasked with spreading rumors around the local area about the human-pig hybrid on the loose in the woods. So,
I hate when that happens.
If you want to read more about the Pigman, go to the very credible website, HuffingtonPost.com, and search the Pigman. There you follow. See, this is a little bit different. I brought you zombies. We talked about Bigfoot. You guys are always pitching the ghosts and UFOs, and now we can add one more. Pigman. I will find something for another episode on werewolves.
What is it with England? They have big cats. They have leprechauns. They have fairies.
elementals?
Well, they have big cats because they have pigmen to feed on. That's why there's big cats.
Stonehenge.
And there is the pigman. There, ladies and gentlemen, there's a photo of the pigman. The infamous diabolical pigman. See that, Diane?
Well, there you go. They got a picture of
him. Yeah. I think I've seen him at a pig barbecue before at my brother-in-law Danny's.
I would say that a sighting of a pigman is probably no more unusual than the sighting of the elephant man. Did anybody think about that?
Reunions.
Well, I'm just saying, like, say somebody had NF, neurofibromatosis, and
the fact that he knows that
they came out looking like the elephant man. Who's to say that in the dark, in the woods, some poor man with this disease isn't walking around in tattered clothes and is just grossly disfigured?
He was from England, wasn't he?
Yeah. Yep.
But he's oinking like a pig.
Well, maybe he can't vocalize.
It's like the hills have eyes.
Well, maybe it's Michael Berryman.
It's weird. Okay, well, you know, speaking of London, I have another one here. London and Kentucky. We're going to bring this right back to UFOs. There was a sighting in mid-August, this past week, I believe. One in England and one in Kentucky. Two in Kentucky, I'm sorry. And the pictures from London and Kentucky reveal an object that is strikingly similar to one another. Can you see that, Rich?
The Pigman spaceship.
No, not the Pigman spaceship. I can't even describe what this looks like. Can you describe what that looks like?
It looks like a female... I don't want to go any further.
It looks like a microphone. Actually, if you think about it, it looks like a microphone. It has a, you know, a ball up on top and a...
and a shack.
Yeah, this is... I think it's used by females.
Just
then he's talking about the shaft
let's,
and the...
Let's keep it with a microphone, all right? It looks like a flying microphone. And in one photo, it's seen, you know, relatively low to the ground in the first layer of cloud cover. In the second photo from London, it's shown much, much higher up. And actually, in the photo from London, there's a second object in the photo... which is actually similar to the first object, except they call it cloaked. It's blurry.
Why is Bigfoot photos always blurry?
Maybe he's just blurry.
Maybe that's his ship that's blurry.
Maybe Bigfoot is just blurry.
Maybe he has a utility belt he wears when he runs around through the woods in Washington, and he, like Batman, he has a little button.
Enable blurring effect?
Mike, there you go, the Predator.
Could be.
Do you remember when David made those? He made the kilt for paranormal investigation.
Do you kill a kilt?
I still have that. It's upstairs.
I mean, if I walked into a meeting when I first met you guys and you were wearing a kilt for ghost hunting, that would have been my first and last trip to Rome Investigators.
Goodness. It was a utility kilt. Everybody wears those. Okay, wait. Coming back to Kentucky here, not related to kilts. There's a second photo of a sighting in Kentucky, and this one appears to be a beam of light emanating from the sky down to the ground, and in the middle of the beam of light, it actually looks like a person is lifting up through the beam. All right, and I'm going to share these photos with my neighbors over here, and I'm going to let them see.
It's like Linda Blair from The Exorcist.
I'm going to let them see these pictures. You can pass it down.
Yeah, I'm like still trying to find the UFO picture on WOUR.
With that little black dot,
it's
supposed to be person.
Well, that's supposed to be his head. Look at the lighter shape.
Yeah.
You see the body in the... Okay, so it actually looks like there's a beam of light. These were taken 2 days apart. One in Kentucky. One in London. I'm sorry, not London. Yes, yeah, it was actually London. And they show the same shape. So, who knows? Could it be some kind of government conspiracy? Some kind of government ship?
Aliens.
Or could it just be aliens being seen?
I'm still getting over the shaft with the round thing.
Diane's not quite sure.
The upper ball. You're not quite sure it's a shaft, or?
No, wait. Show Diane that one. Those two are the same shape. Alright, so we're passing this around. Now do you see the similarities? Okay.
I see.
Okay, now Pete's showing us a daytime photo of the TR-3B. The problem is, it just shows lights. You don't see any craft. Is there supposed to be, like, a cloaking device on there, or how does that work?
I mean, come on. Harry Potter had one. I'm pretty sure our military has one.
That's very
true. He got it from the Predator after Arnold killed it.
It's just three lights.
You're
doing
a chopper!
It actually says
yes, you could see the faint triangle, but unless it has, like, the camera camouflage thing where it's reflecting what's behind it, I don't know.
I need to get my glasses because I don't see that.
Well, it sort of looks like the Star Trek room.
I don't know. See, Mike doesn't even see it.
I think
that's
two separate.
But there's no craft there, you see that? It's just lights. Okay, while Mike looks at that, we will be right back.
Flashlights are now open. In your area, call toll free 1-888-429-5471. In a few hours, please dial area code 530-763-1594.
We are talking to you.
We hope.
But we do not know if we are talking to you. We are on a cellular modem tonight, coming to you live from the field.
We've been sealed in a mason jar on a porch since noon this afternoon.
Even when we are not in our home studio and we are on the road, we still bring you Paranormal Investigator Radio.
I'm actually on a cell phone in the bathroom. I'm talking to these guys via remote.
I'm using a quantum crystal.
Did you see the picture of the lady holding the two electric rods shocking herself?
Quantum.
That's worth $2,200.
What was it called? Quantum crystal what?
Crystal meth.
Crystal meth? Oh, boy.
Well, you mentioned the elephant.
Yes.
There's one place I've been to Philadelphia many times. One place I've never gotten to and I've always wanted to go is the Mutter Museum.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a freaky place.
The Butter Museum?
No, Mutter. I don't know. For those of you that don't know what the Mutter Museum is, it's actually a medical museum where they have, they have instruments and stuff on display, but they also have, like, tissue samples and
medical oddities,
right. Okay, so, like, they actually have fully preserved humans in their musculature with the skin stripped off, and it's look up if you're online. It's called the Mutter Museum.
Actually, they do have the Elephant Man in there, don't they? I think the skull is called.
Yeah, they have his skull in there, I believe, or
very cabinet of curiosities.
Yeah, that's a real macabre.
But actually, speaking of like Pigman and the werewolves, Portland, Oregon, has the American trip as well.
They do?
Yeah, well, leave it to Portland, Maine.
Oh, I was going to say leave it to Portland, Oregon, but okay, Maine.
Yeah, the cryptozoology, it's like the official American.
All right, well, that's not too far from us. We'll have to check that out someday.
I actually just saw that on the History Channel the other night. When they had insomnia. I'm sorry.
Neither one of them lets you sleep, so.
Gosh. Pete's hysterical laughing here.
I'm on the quantum radio site. I didn't say anything else with it. I'm almost done playing the YouTube video.
Don't play the YouTube video.
I think this pretty much what happened to Jack Nicholson in the Run Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
And then, I see it. Well, yeah, see, this is what our radio shows are reduced to when we're not focused at home in the studio. We tell you about medical oddities and quantum radio receivers.
And pigmen.
Rich provided the pigmen.
All right. Well, speaking of, it wasn't really a museum, but when I was in Vegas 2 years ago, I hit up the Titanic exhibit there at the Luxor. And I will say, I mean, there weren't that many artifacts that were But as soon as you walk into the one room and it's all dark and there's the iceberg in there, and apparently it's a chunk of the one that sunk the Titanic, I felt like I wasn't alone. And it wasn't the other 20 people that were in there looking at the iceberg with me. It felt like it had an eerie presence about itself.
How do they know that was part of the actual iceberg? Yeah.
Was it a refrigerated room?
Yes. Oh. I wondered the same thing, if they just keep pouring water on it, because everyone would touch it. It would just be dangerous. From a paranormal standpoint, why would you want to imprint yourself in that?
I don't know.
Now we're talking all, what's the name of that movie there? Twilight, imprinting yourself.
But ain't nobody say nothing about the game.
Speaking of all that, let's chat about ScareCon for a second. Rich, why don't you tell us about the celebrity lineups that are going to be at this. We'll go back to your Glacier in just a minute, Pete.
I called ScareCon. It's all done. I sent all the celebrities home, told them there's going to be no event this year.
No ScareCon.
No event this year. So
let's go to Canada and drink. The imported beer is really bad up there.
Well, anyway, ScareCon is live and well, and it will be held at the Turning Stone Casino September 13th through the 16th. Actually, the 15th, sorry about that, folks. It's going to be 3 days, and we've got about 50 different celebrities. We're focusing somewhat on the horror genre, but also sci-fi and pop culture. As we've got Butch Patrick, who played Eddie Munster in The Munsters. We've got Cousin It coming in. We've got Ace Frehley, the lead guitarist of Kiss, the original lead guitarist of Kiss. And then we have your typical roundabout horror celebs, but this year in particular is very interesting because there's one person I've been trying to get there for almost 3 years now, and that's Linda Blair. So we have The Exorcist coming. So that's gonna be pretty damn cool.
That's awesome.
In addition, for all those paranormal groups out there who are fans of Ghostbusters, who's not, Ernie Hudson from Ghostbusters will be there. Looking forward to see him. And, of course, one of my favorite, Fred Williamson, who played in From Dusk to Dawn, who is the tough gentleman at the bar. The brain on sex machine. That guy's, I love him. He's awesome.
I was in tears when he was stabbing the air there.
Yeah.
Acting Vietnam.
Yes. He's awesome. And so we've got a lot of different people coming. Been working very hard getting all the airline stuff put together, which can be very challenging for that many people. All want specific airlines, specific seats, and all that kind of stuff. So it's a real challenge. But the event also will have a few other surprises. I mean, we're going to also have the parties, the VIP party. We're anticipating the VIP tickets to be sold out here very soon.
We're going
to
be there.
If not this week. RIP has a booth there. We will be present. And also, the most we have is that we sold out of vendor space. So we are completely sold out. So we have a few people that made it to our wait list, and we're trying to get them jimmied around in position to get them in there. We had empty booths, if people can remember, last year, but this year we are sold out. We also added Artist Alley, which is going to give people the opportunity to buy at the table at a reasonable price and sell some of their merchandise, homemade jewelry and stuff like that, tie-dye. So it's going to be great, and really looking forward to it. And make sure you get there. You can still
tie-dye?
Tie-dye.
That was a very random inclusion.
Well, because I know someone who bought an artist table selling tie-dye.
Somebody selling tie-dye.
So,
okay, sorry.
That's
paranormal.
I see they have a starlet from The Walking Dead and stuff.
Yeah, the governor's daughter. Kylie Szymanski will be there. Looking forward to seeing her. The Walking Dead people, like Daryl and Michael Rooker, played his brother and stuff like that. They were doing quite a bit of the horror movie sci-fi circuit until AMC kind of put the clamp on that and said, you're going around promoting The Walking Dead, getting paid a lot of money to go do these conventions and sign autographs. Kind of like, where's our cut? And kind of put the stamp on it. So any of the way I understand it, at least, and I could be wrong, but any of the active cast members now kind of being pulled away from these conventions and basically told that they don't want to do these things anymore, or there's going to be some contractual issues. So
that's garbage.
However, Kylie was killed at the end of the last season. Spoiler alert. So, yeah.
Thanks, Rich.
Yeah, so hope to see everybody there. VIP tickets, not many left, but they're still there. Weekend passes are available. Make sure you hit an ATM on your way there, because we need you to buy lots of merch from the vendors. We need you to buy lots of autographs and help us out. So go to ScareCon.com. You can buy your tickets online. If you do want to get a table at Artist Alley, it's on there too as well. And I will see you there.
We'll be lowering our prices to $2 to $3.
Free.
Oh my God, they got
Edmund free
Munster?
Plus a penny to free.
Free plus a penny. Yeah.
Oh, they got Vampire Santa again.
Yeah, yes, Cell Lizard will be there. Yeah, he reached out to me every year. He wants to come.
I just want
to
be Wednesday Addams.
Yep.
Whether you're an investigator, enthusiast, or ethereal spirit, we are bringing you information from this realm and beyond.
Yeah, I'm not an
investigator. Thank you. With your hosts, Peter Meyer, Rich Nicodem, and Dr. David DeCarlo.
Okay, so we're going to turn this back over to Pete, who was telling us a riveting story about I don't remember what you were saying at all, Pete. No, the Titanic. You were talking about the Titanic. Go ahead.
Sank on April something, 1912.
And that was the Titanic, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, and good night. No.
Again, I watch a lot of late-night history shows. I was watching one about mystery. Did I talk about this last week?
What?
About the mummy that was on the Titanic?
No.
Well, apparently there was a mummy that was so haunted in the British Museum, they stuck it on the Titanic as a gift to a museum in New York. And that's actually what led to the sinking of the Titanic.
I mean, what kind of a gift is that, really? We don't want it. Send it to the Yankees.
I guess, like, someone in the museum had died. Thing would move by itself, objects would move. It's just, here you go, send it across the pond.
I don't know if Christian or not, I've always wanted my mummy.
But why did they find that in all the wreckage? You figure a gold sarcophagus?
That was probably the first thing that was illegally stolen.
The seals ran off of it.
Yeah. The seals took it.
You know how much those seals love gold.
The manatees. So somewhere at the bottom of the ocean is the world's most haunted mummy. Jeez. Rich says it's the pig man.
And also, while I was in Vegas, I hit up the Mafia exhibit. Tropicana. Had a lot of stuff on display. A couple of tree things here and there.
Two tree?
But I believe it was Meyer Lansky. They had his entire library in there. His whole office, like, set up, and walk in there, and you could see everything, just how he left that. Again, another place that is a paranormal investigator just didn't have good vibes about the entire place. They even had the pajamas that one guy there, he was wearing when they blew up his house. They burned it to his underwear. I don't remember his name.
That's weird.
The funny thing is, when you go on those things, they give you this little placard. They give you a name. Give you a name, like a mafia name. So what do they give Benz? Puff Guy. That's his name. They give me the placard. Mine's Eggplant Face. What kind of name is that for Eggplant Face?
Eggplant Face letter.
What would that be in Italian? Faccia Mulignan?
Melanzan.
Right, okay, all right.
Melanzan. I mean, it costs a good $50 to go on these adventures, but it started out, they bring you through the docks. This girl was bringing us down Bleecker Street, which I thought was funny.
Really?
Then we had to go bribe a police sergeant who was Irish, and he actually let us into the museum.
Wow.
He called me a puff guy.
Wow.
And then they offered me a job.
With a name like Eggplant Face, I wouldn't mess with you either.
Although Candy ended up being called the Artichoke King.
It's weird.
Why?
Don't ask.
Well, she strangled 3 people, apparently, in the headline in the newspaper read Artichokes 3 for $1.
Oh, God. That was terrible.
And we're going to be set up at a few different events coming up, too. We also have the Spooktacular out in Auburn. We went last year. They moved it from July, so we won't actually physically humanly die in an auditorium.
That gymnasium was the hottest single room I think I've ever been in my life. It must have been 110 in that room.
I mean, my breast sweating.
That was absolutely insane.
I got to tell the little story there. I mean, it really was a benefit for a girl who had terminal illness who actually ended up not making it. They did fundraise a lot of money for her. And they went from group to group asking them to donate some stuff. So, you know, David and I, being the generous people that we are, we donated two of our logbooks of paranormal activity to the fundraising kit. And we bought at least $20 worth of tickets each. A couple days after the show, I got a phone call telling me that I won a prize.
Oh, no.
I won the logbook to paranormal activity. She's like, and you know what? It's kind of strange. You have the same name as the person who wrote the show.
So Pete sent me a text message telling me that, and I got the biggest kick out of that. And I said, there's absolutely no conceivable way that anybody would make that mistake. Well, 3 days later, I got my phone call that I was a lucky winner of a door prize, which happened to be the logbook of paranormal activity. I mean, it's inconceivable that both of us would get our books back.
You just gave them back. I
mean, we were hoping for a light cube or a millimeter.
I know, something. Gee, there was some good stuff in there. Not to say that our book wasn't good, but we wrote it, so we don't need it.
But yes, this year they moved it to Auburn. It's being put on by the Empire State Paranormal Group.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's at the Holiday Inn. I'm not sure. Don't quote me. You have to go to their website. But, all I can say is it's going to be a good time in Buffalo Wild Wings.
Buffalo Wild Wings. Pete took the Wild Wing Challenge, and he did not make it. But not because of the spiciness. It was because of the temperature of the wings.
Seriously, did they cook them in Chernobyl? I mean, I've never seen chicken that hot.
So after our Auburn event, we're going to be set up at Scaricon, like Rich just told us. And then in October... Oh, that's October. I'm sorry. Okay, so Rich's event, Scaricon, is September. The Auburn event is October. October 5th, we are participating in a fall festival in Boonville, New York, at the famed Hulbert House. We always talk about the Hulbert House, and it just keeps on...
I've heard about that place.
You've heard about it, Rich?
Yeah. I just wanted to go there. They got really good chicken wings.
So we are going to be giving tours, haunted tours, during the daytime, during the fall festival. And then later in the month, the Hulbert House is doing a haunted sleepover where you can actually rent a room like days before Halloween and enjoy some themed events that are going to be taking place that night. We are, again, going to be giving tours, and we're going to be doing a short overnight investigation. But they have a lot of other fun stuff there, too.
Oh, and if you remember last year when Stevie scared one of the poor volunteers, I've never actually physically seen a human being jump 4 feet off the ground when we were scared.
I don't remember how he did it. I remember he did it, though.
He snuck up on her with vampire teeth and called her name.
Oh.
Now, her job was to actually...
Right.
And
good job.
She was terrified. They do a pumpkin drop. Remember the pumpkin drop?
I particularly enjoyed the pumpkin drop.
That was awesome. They take this giant pumpkin. It's like 3 feet in diameter. And
it was the largest pumpkin I've ever, physically seen.
Yeah, it was huge. It took two of us to carry it upstairs. You didn't carry it with me.
Pigman.
It was Pigman. I carried it up with somebody. Maybe Rich? I don't know. And then they toss it off the third story balcony. And they let it go all the way down to the road and splat.
Wasn't there candy in it?
They
did a kid's pumpkin drop. Yeah, and that had candy in it. The adult pumpkin had other stuff in it, which was
cans of beer,
adult themed
items. That was fun.
That wasn't gone.
The reason why you're still chewing it last year.
Rich is sitting next to me. Bless you, Diane. Rich is sitting next to me on his tablet, copying pictures off the internet and naming them Pigman something or other.
That's Mr. T.
Pigman.
No, it's not. It's Pigman.
Pigman.
Oh, dear.
There you go. Pigman versus Pumpkinhead at the home house.
Yeah.
That's always a good time. I'm also starting to make plans for Phenomicon, Gettysburg.
Say that three times fast.
Phenomicon, Phenomicon, Phenomicon.
Faster.
Phenomicon, Phenomicon, Phenomicon.
Okay.
Good.
That was formerly Phenomenology?
Yes.
Now
it's
called
a con.
Phenomicon?
It's a con.
They what cut change it? Your name because of why?
What turned it from an ology into a con?
There's more release prisoners in the
chair. Oh. Okay.
Book's exciting so far in the lineup. They have the Zaffis family, Jason Hawes, Kane Hodder.
That's why they're calling
it
a con. They're stepping outside the boundaries of
paranormal.
Yeah. Actually, Kane Hodder, though, I think does his own paranormal investigating.
Man is the strongest man I've ever met.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. He's old, and he's huge.
You know why he wears gloves? Did you see he always had gloves on?
Yeah.
Because I guess he had some bad burns when he was a kid to his hands, so he always wears the gloves. So I just thought that was a cool thing he did, but apparently there's a reason why.
Yeah,
when you're
that jacked,
you just wear leather gloves.
He can wear a pink tutu, and wouldn't faze me.
So we've had the famous Mike Perillo here with us.
That's right.
Everybody knows Mike.
Mike wears gloves when he goes on. I'm surprised Alex doesn't. I'm waiting for Alex to come in with a green hat on, with the gloves, one of those walkie-talkies that are like up near his neck.
That's right, Mike.
It's around here.
You know, it's funny. Whenever we're places, everybody seems to know Mike. Like last year at that Auburn event that we were at, Pete and I, we just pulled up, we grabbed a box, and we were walking in. The very first second, some guy walks up. He's like, "Oh, the Rip guys. Where's Mike? Where's Mike?" I mean, this is hours away from where we live.
Buffalo.
Never been there. Yeah, we went to Buffalo. Crazy.
I like to rub elbows with people.
Hey, how about the Buffalo Naval Yards?
Yes, that was interesting. We just seen Mike talking to a couple of random guys that were in a canoe at midnight.
Yep.
Talking. Interesting. What it is with my dirty habit of being a smoker, when you go outside, you tend to meet all the other degenerates.
Oh, okay.
The only time I go outside is for ionic wind.
And half the time, he doesn't make it outside.
We promise we won't shackle you to the cube this year at Scarecase. We'll let you mingle with me.
I'm not an animal.
Is there Elephant Man reference? neurofibromatosis.
Wow.
So we, on a more serious note, we need to start planning what we want to do for 2014.
Neurofibromatosis is very serious, Rich.
It's the first time I've ever heard of it.
It's like okay. Dixie Chick serious.
Yes. As serious as a Dixie Chick.
Go ahead.
So 2014, we need guys to start planning what we want to do for the community and what we want to do for our big Hulbert, or not Hulbert, but our big RIP event. HulbertCon was this year and Hulbert House was last year. And we decide if we want to go back to the Hulbert House and do another great big event, or if we want to expand our wings and try someplace like the Buffalo Naval Yard.
I was just going to say, I want to do the Buffalo Naval Yard.
Mike and I were thinking of an event for Shaka Khan.
That's ridiculous.
Shaka Khan.
Or like the Lizzie Borden House. But that's way in a different state.
That Waverly Wings, maybe?
Maybe.
Shaka Khan.
Anybody has any suggestions out there, feel free to hit us up on Facebook, or you could visit us on the website, paranormalinvestigatorradio.com, romeinvestigatorsoftheparanormal.com, or romeinvestigatorsoftheparanormal on Facebook.
And we are available for weddings, bar mitzvahs, birthdays, scaricacular parties, and pigman houses.
My goodness.
Yeah, if you're going to have a pig roast, we are going to do the pigman roast.
This show has degenerated to a point that I can't even tell you.
We'll bring the shaft with the ball on the end of it.
My gosh. So, on behalf of Paranormal Investigator Radio...
Wait, I'd like to say one thing. I'd just like to point out, not really paranormal related, but people who are interested in horror literature and weird fiction, today is the 123rd birthday of Howard Philip Lovecraft. I'd just like to say that.
So, I've behalf of Paranormal Investigator Radio, thank you for joining us tonight, and we will see you in 2 weeks. We are your hosts,
Peter Love Leonard,
Roger Nickedem, Ron Love the Pigman,
and Dr. Dave DiProspero, and our special guest,
Mike Perillo,
and Patrick and Diane. Thanks for joining us tonight here out in the field. Happy hunting and stay spooky.
Oink, oink.
Stay spooky.